fasting a root cause of Hashimoto's? Does it actually trigger Hashimoto's thyroiditis? Or is fasting, like some people claim, even like a cure for Hashimoto's? Well, the answer to both of those is yes. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because like so many different things in your life and in your health, the answer for you might not be the same as the answer for somebody else. So we're going to talk all about fasting today, and I'm going to help you figure out, is this something that you could pursue, or is this not a good idea for you? And welcome to the Health with Hashimoto's podcast. This is episode 82. Thank you so much for joining me. My name is Esther. I am a registered nurse. I'm a holistic health educator. I'm a mom, and I have Hashimoto's, and I have tried fasting several times, and it has always been really bad for me, honestly. And so it was like mid-fall, maybe. All of a sudden, I started seeing so many ads and interviews with this doctor on social media. And it was all about fasting and fasting with your hormones. And I was intrigued, because everything that I have read so far and everything that I have looked at indicates that for women, fasting is generally harmful because of our hormone cycle. And we have talked in the past that low blood sugar is actually one of the root causes for Hashimoto's. Out of balance blood sugar, both high and low, can be a root cause. But out of those two, the low blood sugars seem to be more of a stressor on the body and seem to trigger more autoimmune problems than high blood sugar. And we've talked about that before on the podcast, because I do want you to know what the root causes are so that you can take action and you can implement, you know, changes so that you can see better health. So when I saw all of these ads and these interviews, I was intrigued. But first, let's talk about what is fasting. Fasting is basically going without food or something for a designated length of time. As I record this, it is the beginning of the season of Lent, and that is when many people in the church give up something so that they can take the time that they would normally focus on that thing and focus on prayer and focus on Jesus. Traditionally, it was always food, because back in traditional cultures, gathering and preparing food was the bulk of your day. Like, we didn't have fridges and supermarkets and stuff. So the most of your time during the day and most of your energy went to preparing and eating food. And so they would give that up to spend a lot of time in prayer. And now some people give up other things like social media, or you'll see them give up something else. But traditionally, when we talk about fasting, we are talking about giving up food. And so that is the context that I'm using today for this podcast episode. We're talking about giving up whole foods. I'm not talking about like a water fast, anything like that, giving up foods. And it has gained popularity over, I don't know, maybe the last decade, especially intermittent fasting. And this used to be normal. People would stop eating at supper time and then they wouldn't eat again until breakfast. But now, like I said, food is so much more easy to come by. And, you know, we have microwave popcorn and we have bags of chips. So what do you do after supper? You sit on the couch and you have a snack. And so people are eating all the time. And that's not really good for our blood sugar. It's not really good for our health. So intermittent fasting is basically, at the premise, is taking some time off every day to not eat. And when people start talking about intermittent fasting, like, they'll start talking about a window, eating window and a fasting window. So if you quit eating every day by 7 p.m. and then you start eating at 7 a.m., then your fasting window would be 12 hours and your eating window would be 12 hours. So that's like intermittent fasting, and it can go up to fasting windows up to several days. And when people started doing this, they noticed a lot of health benefits, especially the men. But women do not have as many health benefits when they're doing this intermittent fasting, especially women who are premenopausal. And so we know that there's a correlation with hormones, and there's more that we as women have to consider when we're fasting. And honestly, I think that is why I had problems the first several times I tried fasting, because I was just going on, you know, on the blogs and what people said on the internet and about intermittent fasting. I hadn't learned about the hormone aspect yet. So I was implementing what they said about how to learn how to intermittent fast, but I was not tying it to my hormones. And every time I tried intermittent fasting, I tried it two different times. I gave it a good month or two of trying to implement this in the way that people taught. And I gained weight. I had increased fatigue. I probably had increased Hashimoto's, but the first time I did it, I didn't know that I had Hashimoto's. Maybe I was developing it. I don't know, but it just didn't work for me. Have you had that experience? Have you tried intermittent fasting and found that it backfired on you? And maybe it even triggered some Hashimoto's, like I assume that it probably did for me. Well, there's a couple reasons. Number one, when your blood sugar goes low, it is a stressor on the body. It is a hard stressor on the body, and that increases your cortisol. Got lots of episodes on cortisol and on stress and how that impacts your immune system and how it kind of causes your immune system to go haywire. And then your immune system attacks your thyroid, and that is Hashimoto's. So we do not want to raise our stress level, especially chronically. Well, and then in women, during our typical 28-day cycle, of course, your cycle might not be 28 days. You might not even have a cycle anymore. But typically, on a 28-day cycle, there are different periods within that cycle where we are more susceptible to stress, and our body cannot tolerate fasting as much, because our bodies as women are created, like everything about us is created for us to live and for us to grow a human being. Everything is focused on that. And there are certain times in your cycle where fasting does not work with your cycle, and it's going to cause increased stress in your body if you try. So that's kind of like the bad news. Is fasting good or bad? Well, bad news, yes, it is bad. And then let's look at the flip side. How is fasting good? Now, fasting does a whole lot of things. And some people say that through the practice of fasting and doing it correctly in sync with hormones, they have been able to reverse their Hashimoto's. I am not making any claims on this podcast. You know, I never claim to diagnose, to cure, to prevent, all of those things that the FDA says all the time. You see a little disclaimer at the bottom. Well, I'm not here to tell you how to cure anything. If it was as easy as, you know, one thing, everybody would know about it. There is not one simple thing. There is things that are individual to you to support your body, to do what your body needs to do. And some people say that fasting is the way to do it. Well, I take a little issue with the way, but it can be helpful. So let's go through the different things that fasting does. Number one, it creates an amplified healing state. There are so many things in your body that it kind of activates and it mobilizes so that your body can heal better. One of those, and the earliest thing, is ketones. Now, you've probably heard of ketones because they're all over social media, but ketones is what your body uses when it doesn't have sugar to burn. It burns ketones. And you've heard me talk about your mitochondria before. The mitochondria are the little powerhouses in your cell, and they like to run on ketones. So we like to keep our mitochondria happy. When you're fasting, you have more ketones. Another thing that you have when you're fasting is autophagy. Now, autophagy is super cool. It's basically like the self-cleaning cycle of your every single cell. Autophagy is when it goes through and it figures out, your body figures out what is needed, what is not needed. It cleans things up, it recycles, it repairs, it throws stuff away. Autophagy is really, really cool. And we need autophagy to happen in order to clean out our bodies, to have a healthy functioning body, to have healthy functioning organs and cells. We need autophagy to happen. And autophagy does happen when you're fasting. And those two things are really, really cool and helpful about fasting. Another thing that happens when you're fasting for an extended length is you have this entire like reset of your gut. Now, you have probably have heard me say that when you have Hashimoto's, you have a gut component to that. We all do. And so we want to focus on gut health as much as we can, because that's a huge component of your immune system. And it's a huge factor in your autoimmune condition. Another thing that fasting does is it helps your immune system repair. And this was first discovered when people were doing three-day water fasts, which if you do not have somebody guiding you through a fast, do not try a water fast. So a water fast is where you don't do anything except for water. You really need some guidance if you're going to do that. But they found out, this Dr. Walter Longo, he did these studies with a three-day water fast, and he found that like it just reset the whole immune system. He was working with patients with cancer, and they were on chemo, and it was crazy. Like, they were all of a sudden releasing all these stem cells. The stem cells naturally go to the places in your body that need the most healing, and these people were having so much renewal and like this reset of their entire immune system, which was really cool. So of course, if we're having problems with our immune system, that sounds ideal, right? Like, if you just do this one thing, you can fix everything. What? That sounds like the American dream. Not the traditional American dream, the current American dream, where we want a pill for every ill. We want a quick solution to a problem that's been building for decades. We want fast. So if you could just like do a three-day water fast and fix it, awesome. But it doesn't work that way. Sorry, it does not work that way. And one reason is because if you have problems with your blood sugar, like if you've ever gotten hangry, especially if you get hangry frequently, like you are not ready to do a fast. If you get hangry, it is your body saying that you don't handle low blood sugar well. When you get hangry, that feeling of like impatience and anger when you get hungry, or you don't even feel hungry yet, you're just irritable. And then you're like, oh yeah, it hasn't been, you know, I haven't eaten in a while. That's a sign that your body does not handle low blood sugar well. And you're not ready to fast, quite honestly. You're not ready. You need to get your blood sugar taken care of. Well, let me go over the six different lengths of fasts and what they do. This is from the book Fast Like a Girl. And if you want to explore fasting, if you want to try it out, I highly recommend that you get the book. I have the book on Kindle, and I will be getting it in paperback, because this is a book where you need the appendices so that you can know exactly what to do if you have Hashimoto's or if you have adrenal fatigue. And then you need like the towards the end, the recipes. There's some really good recipes in there as far as blood sugar balancing recipes. And then you need the charts in the middle to help you know when to eat what. And those things are just kind of harder on a Kindle. You can bookmark each thing, but this is a book that you really want to have in your hand as a reference guide as you learn to fast, as you prepare your body, as you figure out when to do what. You really want to have this book in your hands. The author is Dr. Mindy Pelz, and she was all over social media a little while ago. And you can look her up on YouTube. You can look her up on any of the social channels. She has some, I think, a free Facebook group and then a Facebook group where you pay a lot of money every month in order to fast with her, to have these guided fasts. But she's got tons of resources. But the Fast Like a Girl book is great. I would recommend that if you want to dive into this. So anyway, the six different length fasts are these. First is intermittent fasting, and that's between 12 and 16 hours without food. And then the next one is autophagy fasting, and that's, like I said, it activates your body to clean things up. I love autophagy. I have little autophagy activators. They are in the Protandim line. I've told you before about the Protandim NRF2 that activates my body to create its own antioxidants and protect me that way. It decreases oxidative stress. I also take the NRF1 activator, and that helps my mitochondria. Well, the third one, and this one I believe is best during two parts of the cycle after reading this book, it activates autophagy. So even though I haven't been able to fast in the past, I've been able to activate autophagy, and that's the cleaning. So autophagy fasting starts at 17 hours. After 24 hours of fasting, you're starting to reset your gut, which is super cool. Like, reset all of those microbes. and do like two or three other things in the gut to help heal. Then after 36 hours, you start to burn more fat. After 48 hours, you actually reset your dopamine. So that is really cool if you're struggling with depression, or if you find that you are struggling with like an addiction to your phone and you really need those dopamine hits, then combining a like food fast with a social media fast can be helpful. And then after 72 hours, like I said, that's where you start to release the stem cells and you're going to have the immune reset fast. So those are the six different lengths that she talks about in the book. But what I found the best, absolutely loved it, is she's got a chart in here, and it's a couple of places in here, and it talks about when to fast and when to eat. So in the book, there's this chart of a 28-day, she actually has a 30-day menstrual cycle, and it tells you what is when. The first about week of your cycle is menstruation. And so that's when you bleed. Day one of your cycle is the first day that you're bleeding. And that, she calls, is a power phase. During the power phase, you can be fasting. And then during the next phase, that's like the week when you're ovulating, that is when you cannot fast. Your body is putting all the resources into maybe we can make a baby. And if you're fasting, you're telling your body it's not safe to make a baby. And then your hormones are going to get all messed up. They're going to be all out of whack. It's really not good to fast when you're in that part of your cycle. And I don't just mean that if you're not wanting to get pregnant this month, then it's going to be okay to fast, because there are so many things that hinge on your hormones, and it is to your benefit and everybody's benefit around you, but you're going to be the healthiest when you honor the hormones and your cycles, your cycle of hormones. You do not want to fast, at least not a long time, during that ovulation stage. And then there's another power phase after ovulation. And that's another time when you can do fasting and it's okay with your hormones. And then you go into this next stage, which she calls the nurture phase, and that is until you bleed again. And these are not like four 7-day periods. It really varies on you, but it also varies on this chart. So grab the book. Look it up. I'm sure that this chart is on the internet somewhere. If you look it up, I will try to find it and post a link down in the show notes. Or you can always head over to my blog. I do try to keep the blog updated. Usually within 1 week of the podcast episode airing, then I have the transcript, you know, revised so that it reads better. And I have that up on the blog, and I will have all the links in the blog. And then I should have this chart if I can find it, or I'll just have a link to it. Anyway, you really want to honor your hormones and to work with them. When you are working against your hormones, things don't work. And that's, I think, the biggest reason why fasting, as a general thing, doesn't work well for women. Men, they have a 24-hour cycle. That's it. 24 hours. Every single day is the same as far as their hormones. Women, our hormones are always changing. We have several different hormones and they go off of each other, and one rises, one falls. It's really complex. It is amazing. Women are amazing. Our bodies are incredible. Everything that we go through in a period cycle, it's so cool. And I really feel bad that we don't grow up knowing that. We do not grow up, at least I didn't. I didn't grow up knowing that it was a gift to be a woman. Instead, we felt like it was shameful to get a period. Puberty was, well, it still is awkward for everybody. It's not fun for any woman, but it's a really, really cool thing. And our hormones are amazing. When you learn that you can work with your hormones and that you can harness different types of energy during different parts of your cycle. Like, there's 1 week where you feel more beautiful and you actually like look better according to what your hormones are doing with your skin and with other things. And then there's other times during your cycle where you are able to multitask and you're able to get a ton of stuff done. There's other times in your cycle where you are more emotional, and that is probably the one that we all recognize. But really, our cycles are wonderful. And I feel bad that so many of us have grown up thinking that it's almost shameful to be a woman. It's not. You are amazing. Your body has been created perfectly. And when you can learn to work with your hormones and not stress them out, things are going to work better. So in summary, fasting, it can be bad. It can be good. If you're just going to like fly into it and try it, then it's probably going to be bad. If you're going to prepare your body to adapt, if you're going to prepare your blood sugar and get off of that hangry cycle, then that's going to be better. And then if you work with your hormones and follow a specific plan like this fast with a girl, there's possibly other ones out there too that teach you how to follow your hormones, then that's going to be better. Always work with your hormones, because when you're working with your body, things are going to work better. This podcast is for informational and educational purposes only. Please be sure to discuss any concerns and plans with your trusted healthcare professional.